And welcome to CAT Scan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. The Christmas break for the Prince George Cougars and their head coach and their general manager, Mark Lamb. And it's a little bit more of a festive season, Mark, when you've won five of your last six games, correct?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's whenever you win, it's it's a different feel. And the kids put a real nice little streak together before Christmas, so they can really enjoy it.
You know, you're 13-15 as of the break. If we were told that at the start of the season, we wouldn't be too surprised. But maybe the route you took to get there, up and down, no overtimes, it's been a little bit of a wacky one for you, would you say?
Yeah, it's you never know. You can't predict, any type of play or how everyone's going and how everything's going to work out. But it's a long season, and there's so many ups and downs and different things that can happen. And where we're at right now, we're not satisfied. We want to keep improving and keep getting better, but. There's been a lot of obstacles, the way the world is right now with the COVID situation, with the travel, with, just playing in your division and now doing we did go to the U.S. So there's been obstacle after obstacle, and I give our kids a lot of credit on how they're playing and just keeping the task at hand of playing hockey and being very positive.
Now, there's still more than half a season to go in terms of games, but in the Western Conference, the top eight make it, and I think it is safe to assume Everett, Seattle, Kamloops, the top three teams, they're pretty safe. After that, you're looking at Portland with 30 points, Kelowna, Vancouver 29, Prince George, yourself with 26, Tri-City, Victoria 22, and Spokane with a 17. So right now for the Cougars, you're seven, eight makes it. You're three behind Vancouver and Kelowna. You're four back of Portland. And maybe more importantly, you're four ahead of Tri-City and Victoria. I know the goal is always to surpass teams ahead of you, but is that more important than making sure those teams that are behind you by 4 points don't catch up?
Well, I think it means the same thing. You always got to look for it. If you're playing well, you're going to catch teams. If you're not playing well, those other teams are going to catch you. So you have to keep an eye on everything. But the biggest thing for us is we got to keep improving. We got to keep developing, and we got to keep getting better. And there's always little leaks in different parts of our game. Because we're so young and we're just learning, and this is a real learning curve for a lot of guys. So I look at a lot of different areas, and we've got to keep improving in different areas. And when we're lacking in an area, we've got to refocus and get more focus in that area. And it's really nothing different than running, a hockey team. It's just a little bit different on how young we are.
So the power play has not been good overall. As a matter of fact, it's the last in the league, but the penalty kill has been very good at number five. Can you explain why the power play has struggled and the penalty kill has been so effective?
Power play hasn't been good. We've tried, different players on it, and it was really good at the start. What happened there is, the team started scouting, and we had some tendencies that were working for us, and we've had some trouble adapting those tendencies that had to change. So our power play in the last 2-3 weeks has been really good. Probably haven't got the results we wanted, but you look at momentum and scoring chances on it. That's what you have to go by. So there's some real positive signs in the power play. And I think we kind of, at the start, it got pretty easy for us. The power play, we just go out and we had a high percentage. And I think in an exhibition, we were number one. And then the first, couple of weeks or a month, we were top 10, and we just got content with that. So it's something that we've cleaned up. The penalty killing was the opposite. It wasn't very good at the start and got better. And a lot to do with structure and how we're doing it and our great goaltending.
Now, you don't have any players averaging a point per game, so you're not filling the net as much as you would like. Did you expect, or do you expect going forward, a little bit more production from some of the guys?
Yeah, and that's improvement. You know, that's if you're improving your game, and there's lots of different areas that you got to improve your game on, because you got to play on both sides of the puck. So if we're improving, the goal rate will go up, you know, for sure. So I'm always expecting. I'm optimistic that the team can score more goals, but I'm also very aware that we got to play a real 200 foot game to keep it out of our net also.
So let's talk about some of the individuals on the team. And one guy that has stood out in the home games that I've watched, and I know that he stood out in all of the games as you're looking, and that is Hudson Thornton. Not only has he been providing offense from the back end, but all season long, he has consistently led the team in the plus-minus. He's +7 as of the break. He takes some chances. He makes mistakes. But I notice when he does turn the puck over, he is quick to recover, to get back into the play and make amends for that mistake. And he doesn't let it bother him. He jumps into the play often. So let's start with a comment about him. Has he, even at 18, exceeded your expectations?
I'm not sure. He's a high-end player. You know, he's been touted fairly highly. We were just happy to get him recruited and get him signed. But there's a lot of potential there. So he plays a lot of different parts of our game, the penalty kill, the power play, 5-on-5. The biggest thing with Hudson is he wants to be a hockey player so bad that sometimes when he, let's just go back to turning the puck over and stuff, he's just trying to do so much because he cares so much that happens. But the expectations for us are very high for him, and for himself they're very high. And he's been a joy. Like he comes to the rink every day to work hard. He's got a real positive. He's a bubbly kid. Brings a lot of life to the dressing room, to the team, to the coaching staff, and he's a good example of for a lot of our other guys that they can look up to.
Now he's a defenseman, but he is tied for second in team scoring with Height and Zimmer with 19 points behind Craig Armstrong with 21. Let's talk about Zimmer, because he had a career 6-point game against the Vancouver Giants. That was magic. All 6 points came in the second half of that game, and you guys won it handily, but you're actually down 2-0 at the midway point. That 6-point game stands out among all others in terms of individual efforts this season.
Yeah, those games are special, and they kind of happen. And I wouldn't even say that was his best game that he's played this year. You know, it just kind of happened for him. This kid can really score, even though he wants to score more. When you break down the chances, he gets tons of chances, and he takes it to the net, and he's a natural goal scorer. So when you get a player like that, that it's kind of happening for, you know, you're just so happy because it takes it gains more confidence for him. You know, he's had many games where he's had, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 chances and got nothing out of it. So he would just keep sticking with it. And we love him as a player. We think the ceiling is very high, and he's going to score a lot of points in this league.
Okay, when a player is having a special game, are you thinking about extra ice time? Are you thinking about things? I want to give a little bit of an example. In that game against the Giants, he had 6 points, and things were just going great. You had the game in hand. You even had a late power play, but you didn't throw him on the ice there, and you didn't really throw him on the ice the last couple of minutes. Some coaches might have said, you know what? He's had 6 points. I know we got the game in hand, but you know, maybe we could see if we can get him his 7th point, almost like, you know, you might throw a guy out to get his hat trick if there's an empty net or something like that. Do you think about these kind of things, or are you just thinking, no, I got to get my other guys in and 6 is enough?
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, that goes through my head all the time. And You know, we're playing against that team again. I just think that, you know, and some coaches do it. They'll go out there and you're up there. They'll put their number one power play out there and do it. But we got some guys that have never played on the power play, and I want to be fair to everybody. But to put, you know, and then that can be dressing room stuff that they put on. Look at PG, and you know, we had to play them again at before Christmas, and here they are, you know, putting their number one power play out there when the game's out of hand. So I kind of, you know, tend to go to the other guys and give them an opportunity that they've never had. And, you know, usually when you do that, sometimes they go out there and score. So I remember, I think it was Singer and McAdams and Brown who we had out there at the end of the game. The guys on the bench were cheering for them and they're all laughing. And I actually had Reaver and some other guys that never played it going after that, and the guys didn't change, so they're giving them a hard time for taking a long shift and not letting the other guys go. So it turned into a little bit of fun.
Yeah, and I'm sure Cohen didn't say anything to you, but sometimes, you know, would you get a look from a player? I mean, you've dealt with players in the past that have had special nights. Do they sort of give you a look and say, hey, can I get back on there?
Oh, they all those guys want out there. They don't even have to give the look. I know what they're like. I know they want to get out there. I was even thinking of putting him, you know, just for his hat trick and putting him out there with some other guys, not the power play that goes out there. And but you know, that's just something that I think it's just good. I think it's honest. That's kind of the way I coach. That's kind of the way I feel, the unselfishness and stuff that goes right through the whole team, and it'd be nice to get one of those other guys an opportunity to play.
Riley Hite has been a very good player as a 16-year-old, a rookie, 19 points in 25 games. He actually started off with scoring lots of points, had a bit of a tail off there, hasn't got as many goals maybe as he would like compared to a start with a 7 in 25 games. How would you describe Riley Hite's development?
Excellent. I think here's another kid that really wants to be a player, not only an offensive player, but a 200-foot player that wants to be an all-round guy, and he wants to be, you know, wants to be a special, which I think he is. You know, the biggest thing with Riley is he's coachable, and you can see on some of the ice time and how he works, because he's, for a 16-year-old, he's really good in the face-off circle. And, you know, we have Bowie on one side and Hyder on the other. So that actually gives him a little bit more ice time when we can get him out there winning a face-off and changing or killing a little bit of a penalty, or even at the end of games when we need a face-off win. He's on that side. He's a guy that, and he's getting better at it. His defensive game is getting a lot better. And it's all buy-in. And, you know, so the first half, we're not even at the first half here. I know he's not content. He wants to keep getting better. And as you get better, like I've always said, that if you get better away from the puck, you're going to put up those numbers.
Craig Armstrong is an example of a player that did not produce offense when he was 16 and not much at 17. But now he's 18. He's your leading scorer, 21 points in 28 games. Great penalty killer. Speed allows him a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I we haven't seen the best of Army yet either. He's really starting to be an all-around player and effective, and you can see his speed. When he's very physical and using his speed, he's so noticeable, and that's when he can really create offense. And you know, I keep going back on how young this team is, but we even look at a guy like Armstrong. They, you know, we got shut down. Him and Eastman and some of these old threes haven't played a full season in this league yet. You know, so everything's a little bit different. And, you know, you lose some development, you know, when we didn't play enough games last year and stuff like that. But where I see these O3s, and they're really just starting to come into their own in a full season. And that's what we're looking at right now.
Ethan Sampson starting to give you some offense from the back end, not to the degree necessarily of Hudson and Thornton, although their goals are pretty similar. Hudson has 6 and Ethan 5, but, you know, Hudson a little bit more maybe of a playmaker. But Ethan had the teddy bear goal and is starting to contribute some offense. How do you look at his game at both ends?
Well, he's a real good player. You know, I see some. The thing with Samson, he eats up so much ice. Sometimes I think we play him too much, and that can hurt your offensive play. But I look at our whole back end now, and it's a very young back end, and they're all starting to contribute offensively, which we really want. So when I look at that whole group back there, I get very excited.
So I'm not going to run through the whole rest of the roster, but are there one or two other guys or somebody else you want to name or just talk about as a whole as we've taken a look individually at some of these Prince George Cougars to this point?
Well, and not individually. Like I said, I don't like to leave anybody out because I think in everybody's own way and part of their game, when I look at, and we play everybody, so everyone's contributing in a different way, but we've had a lot of good things go on with individual players that are improving. And, you know, when you talk about our young guys, you go right to our 16-year-olds. You see improvement in Brown and Singer and Domanski and, you know, height we talked about. But I've even seen improvement in, you look at a guy, or O2 Reeves, like he's, you know, we have him playing D and then, you know, now we move him to forward and he's just all buy-in and he's doing a real good job on the wing. So I see improvement there. And, you know, those are just different examples. And, you know, a kid like McAdams who, you know, plays and you see the offensive game that he has and he's starting to improve defensively. And Dehaniak's really starting to come around. And, you know, I can go on about the little bit of improvement in some of these guys. And that's where we're at, and that's what we want. We got a good team, but we're a very young team, and it's we don't want to lose track that we need that development for the future. We know what we're going to be in a couple of years, and it's very exciting. And we still got some young guys that are coming, so we got to keep developing, keep moving forward, and we're kind of happy with this individual play that these guys have kept improving.
You're listening to Cat Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Mark Lamb is the coach and GM of the PG Cougars. We've been discussing the forwards and the defense, but the strength of this team has been in goal, and I don't think anybody could argue that. And I don't know if a coach is allowed to have a favorite player, and if they do, they're not maybe allowed to say publicly, but Mark Peter Gauthier, is he your favorite player?
Well, I would never say that out loud at all. I've been around Taylor. I've had lots of meetings with him. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, what he's done for the organization, how he's came along, how he's improved. So the relationship is strong. I think for Taylor, the leadership that he's shown Brennan and Young in a short amount of time, and I've said this many times, goaltending's our strength in this organization, and it's just not Taylor, but the other two guys also. But I think Taylor's kind of set the footing for these other two guys.
And we'll talk about Tyler and Atai in a moment. Taylor Gauthier, 923 save percentage, and is much higher than that in recent games. 2.75 goals against average, and you have to remember that is more than respectable, especially considering the youth he is playing behind. This is his fifth year in the league and his best year so far. We've discussed this in the past. Now, a year has gone by. The trade deadline is January 10th. This year it's pushed back until January 17th. I think your decision gets harder and harder because on one school of thought, you know, if you do move a Taylor, that's going to give more time for Tyler Brennan and Ty Young and may, you know, enhance Taylor Gauthier's playoff situation or a team that is a little bit older and for his last year. So there's that. But on the other hand, having Taylor Gauthier is going to help you this year improve your standings and where you're at. So what do you do?
Well, you answer the phone, you talk to the phone, and you talk to people, You know, where our organization is right now, we know where we're going. We got a young team, and we got some good veterans on the team, and we want to keep getting better. The market out there is tough right now. I'm talking about all our players. You know, we have conversations about all our players. I want to always try to, you know, if we can get better, and every GM says the same thing. If we can get better right now, that's what we want to do. We're no different, even though we're in a different cycle. Taylor Gauthier, tons of respect for, but at the end of the day, you know, three goalies isn't the answer either. We went through that. We've kind of had to send Younger to play some games, which really worked for him. And, you know, we'll just keep playing it out. The trade deadline is coming. I always say if something doesn't work, what's wrong with having the best goaltending in the league?
Yeah. I want to ask you this, though, because I know you know, at the start of the season, September, October, it's now different as we get, you know, later December. Because Taylor Gauthier has been superb, and you thought he would be, but it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to go out and do it. Does it make it more difficult now than you're thinking back in September or October, or is your thinking not changed whatsoever?
No, my thinking hasn't changed, because it'll drive you crazy thinking like that. You just gotta keep doing what you're doing, and you know, there's not overage players, and you know, we're talking Taylor Gauthier. It's not easy, you know, especially in the goaltending position, right? So there's not a big market out there, or at all. Like you just sometimes there is, and then you got to kind of play it out. Maybe there's injuries, and maybe that's not the direction you want to go, or there's so many different factors into it. But you know, the trade deadline is coming. There's no need to panic or anything like that. Usually things will fall into place, especially with this crazy world that we're living in right now. We really don't even know how that's going to work, so we got to be careful there also.
Now, when Tyler Brennan got hurt, at the time we didn't know how serious, but you must have been thinking to yourself, and I know you've got a lot of confidence in Ty Young and all that, but you must have been thinking, ooh, boy, thank goodness Taylor Gauthier is here when Brennan was out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's how I feel all the time. Like, whenever, you know, people are going, well, what are you going to do? You're trading, you know, the only thing you can do is trade Gauthier. And I'm like, I don't know. Well, it'll play itself out. Like, you know, when something like that happens, and all of a sudden you got Taylor Gauthier sitting there, you feel pretty good. You know, you can go win games.
So Tyler Brennan, like a Gauthier, has also played 14 games. Goals against average, 3.26, 906 save percentage. Started off slowly, has now rounded into form, and I think even he admitted in a previous podcast, his play has picked up because he gets pushed by Taylor Gauthier.
Well, that's the great thing about having good leadership and other, you know, and we have the luxury here of Taylor Dacres too. Nobody really understands the impact that he has with these goalies. Having a full-time goalie coach every day, talking to these guys and working with these guys, and so every day you get that one-on-one lesson, which is huge. And the impact that I've seen, you know, in my years here of having a full-time goalie coach, it's just like when we're in the NHL, to have that guy there all the time and talk the goalie language with him is so important. So it really isn't surprising that we have strong goaltending, you know, and Taylor Dacres is a huge part of that.
And Taylor Dacres had a terrific WHL career about 10 years ago, maybe a little longer now.
Yeah, exactly. And he, you know, those guys, they speak the language. Like, I don't speak goaltending language. They understand. So it's just so important. And the more I've been around here and more I've been around Taylor, I think it's even more important. I didn't realize that it really is that important to have a guy here full time.
So who decides who's playing, you or Taylor Dacres? Or how does that work? And Do you always decide about if you're going to make a goaltending change during the game? Do you talk to him a little bit? How does that work? How much influence does he have?
Well, he has a ton of influence, and I use him a lot because, you know, that's during the game, that's my decision. I don't you know that's kind of the spur of the moment stuff. Or, you know, well, if we talk in between periods and say, geez, I'm not, if he's not liking him too much or whatever, he gives that input. But for starting, yeah, Taylor has a big call on who's going to be playing in the goal.
So Ty Young's in an interesting situation. He's the third string now, can easily move up to second string. And as we would project for the next year, I mean, Brennan would come in as the starter and Ty Young would be the backup until somebody can beat them out. So he's also played, you know, three games this season for the Cougars, an .888 save percentage, 3.59 GAA, has his first WHL win. And if it does come that you decide that there's going to be a suitable partner for Taylor Gauthier, I think you feel more comfortable about making that move because Ty Young is probably ready to at least be a backup.
Yeah, absolutely. Like he is ready. He's a WHL goalie. He's proven it. He's put in his work in Calgary when we sent him to the Canucks, and he was just a workhorse down there. Got all kinds of attention from scouts, and so good for him for doing that and playing good. And that's one thing is when you play, you got to play good, and you're going to get noticed. And he certainly is right now. And we're, like I said, we're so comfortable with all three of these guys, even starting. Doesn't matter who we decide to play. We think they can all, we think all three of them we can win with.
Now, is there a possibility Ty Young goes back to the AJHL, or do you think he is with you for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, that's all up in the air right now. Like, we know that he's a WHL goalie that can play on our team.
And, you know, he obviously has to be pretty happy knowing that it appears he's got a pretty good future with this team, still as a, pardon the pun, young guy.
Yeah, I hope that's the case for sure, you know, because he is a good young goalie and he's starting to get recognized now. And he's come a long ways in the last 3 months. And a lot of people didn't know who he was before, but people are starting to know who he is now.
You've got a lot of responsibility. Did you feel any heat or extra pressure when things were not going well this season and the team was mired in a losing skid? And, you know, prior to this last half dozen games, some may have thought they expected more and all that. Were you personally feeling any heat, or is it just the pressure you put on yourself?
Yeah, no, I don't. It's where we're at. We have a good understanding of where our team is at, and what I don't think a lot of people understand, and it might not matter to them, is we're a really, really young team, and the expectations came from the hub, which the hub was very, you know, and I want expectations. I want high expectations because this hockey team's, you know, it is a good hockey team right now, and we're very competitive, but when you've only had three players that have played a full season in the league, you're gonna go through some real tough, you know, you're gonna go through some negative streaks. A five-game losing streak with a young team is not uncommon. You never want to do it, but there's no use getting rattled. You know, that's for sure, and losing focus and changing your plan and knee-jerk reactions, and you just got to work through it. I've been on really, really good teams where you have losing streaks. It just kind of happens. You just got to try to keep fixing it and keep improving.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one question here regarding any particular game. Has there been any particular game that you were just incredibly pleased? This was our best game all around. And on the other hand, has there been another game that you were just totally ticked off because it wasn't necessarily what the score was, but it was effort or something like that? Are there games from those extremes that come to mind from your first 28 games?
Yeah, absolutely. Our first game against Tri-Cities here was very disappointing for me in all aspects. I didn't like the effort, the execution. So those type of games are worrisome. And then on the other hand, the next day was one of our best games. So we fixed it. Which is pretty gratifying for a coach when you have to go through a lot of negative clips and stuff that we're not doing right, and the guys fixed it. So it was kind of like a twofold in 2 days where we played. But the last what we've went through in the last week or 2 weeks has been pretty gratifying. Some real hard situations. I thought we played a real solid game in Kamloops the other night, and for that matter, we went into Vancouver and played a very solid game, but didn't end up getting the points. But played very solid. So our last week, we're really starting to put in some real solid 60-minute efforts that I'm pretty happy about.
After the trade deadline, and once World Juniors is done, and everything, are points going to become more difficult for the Cougars to come by since Kamloops and the Kelowna and Vancouver have more 19-year-old players than the Cougars?
Well, everybody knows this is when you get good, it's a 19-year-old league, and there's a big leap, from a 16, 17, 18-year-old to a 19 and 20-year-old. They're now turning into men, and it gets harder all the time. Training camp is one thing, and then the regular season is one thing. It's harder. After Christmas, it gets harder, and then certainly after the trade deadline, people have their rosters together. That's the teams that that have made trades to go for it, and so then it gets way better after the trade deadline. And as we all know, playoffs is a total different animal. How hard it gets. So it's not going to get any easier, that's for sure, to sum it all up.
How are you going to enjoy the holiday season?
I'm just sticking around in Prince George, the travel and everything. So got some family coming in. My son's here now, and we're just going to enjoy these days off and clear the brain up and get ready for the next half or just over half of the season.
Yeah, because, at that dual role, has there been a point for you that you thought, boy, this is almost too much responsibility, or because you've got so many people that can help that you're finding it manageable?
Yeah, no, I never think like that hardly at all. You put people around you, you surround yourself. It's been different, but it's been different for everybody because we're living in different times right now. Throwing a December draft at us, right? And it's not at us. That's what we had to do, So that's a little bit different, leaving the team but you leave the team and go watch tournaments and do different things. So in that aspect, I haven't been out watching as many games as I usually would. I'm around the team a little bit more. So that's the balance. It kind of balances it all out. But when you have good people working for you, it makes it a lot easier for me. So I'm certainly not getting bogged down.
And what was the last message you gave to the players before the break?
Well, I just told them to really enjoy it. You play this game and you look so forward to getting home and seeing your family. And, a lot of these kids have never been away from home. And so you see your friends. And another thing I told them is everything kind of changes. You're going to go back and you're going to see your friends, you're going to see your family, and all of a sudden you're going to go, geez, I want to get back playing hockey. And it happens all the time. And I went through that for many years where you just, now you get to be really good friends with your team, and you kind of lose touch with some of your friends that aren't in the hockey business back home.
Well, Mark, you have a great Christmas season and holiday. Appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again in the new year. All the best.
All right. You too. Take care.
Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Happy holidays.